Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Call on Buddhas and Butterflies, working on transforming fear into its healthy role of practical action. And I think of fear as well as being like the mother of all emotions. So there's something about fear, and usually fear is like the ultimate root of fear, seems to be like the fear of feeling itself. And I'm so curious to see how that ties into our time together. And once we can be at peace with feeling fear, then there's actually a different way to just be with the sensation of fear as it washes through your system, and you get to realign your actions so that they can come from more of a place that's practical, just to connect those dots a little bit closer together. Oh, so glad I get to be here with you all. Hello, hello, everybody. Okay. So, without further ado, we're going to hop on into some things. And this is a little bit early. I don't usually get my ducks in a row so early, but I've got the schedule set for February, March, April, and May. And that's on the calendar on the website, as well as on your emails that you're now receiving. So that's been updated. And the end of May will... I'm going to evaluate what I'm going to do with the end of May. I've been noticing, because I've done the launch of this series every year to add other people, usually at the end of May, with Transform Emotions into Energy. And the first 2 years, it was like wildfire. It worked really well. And then the next 2 years, it started to drop, a couple of years started to drop off. And then I started to just invest a little bit less in it. So I used previous recordings. So I'm debating what to do this year, and your thoughts, your contributions are always welcome. I would very much like to have this go again in the following year, which would our year for Buddhism Butterflies starts in June. So if that's something that you're interested in supporting any which way, feel free to already start talking to people if you know of anybody, or if there's any other particular ideas as well that you'd like for the following year. Feel free to get them into me sometime this month. I'll be debating and thinking about themes. And I mean, you can always let me know anytime, but I'll be thinking about it a little bit more in the month of February. Okay, y'all. I'm officially done with all the admin stuff. I'm going to hop on into the session. Yeah, I love this group too. I just got a text from somebody about something that they wanted to address privately. Okay. It looks like they made it. Just gonna quickly text that back. Okay, loves. I'm gonna invite you to focus on your breath. Make any little adjustments with your body as you get comfy and cozy for today's session. You settle on in. Just breathing, adjusting, moving, settling in. I'm going to invite you on the next exhale. Just make a little bit of sound with that breath. Let's do three more of those. Like your whole body can make this sound. Any sort of a sigh. We're going to do two more of those. And then I'm going to invite you to focus on your breath in a slightly different way. I'm going to invite you just to connect to how your breath seems to be flowing naturally, and if any shifts and change happen as you observe it, that's welcome. Nothing that you need to concentrate on holding still. Every inhale becomes an opportunity to receive, to drink life in, and to connect to inspiration. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. In every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to receive it and to enjoy it by means of savoring. And as you continue to savor, let me invite you to, on purpose, actually locate something in your external or your internal environment, letting your senses go for a bit of a walk around the room. And as they land on that thing, whether it's the color, the shape, the size, or whether it's maybe what it reminds you of, maybe it's a memory, a time in which you felt like you. Whatever it is that captures your attention, the invitation here is to stay with it and to drink its energy in a way that lets you, again, just continue to notice all the elements that you really appreciate about this. And one by one, as you connect to them, savoring them, mindfully drinking them in. So you may go through what it is you appreciate about them one more time, and on purpose, on rotation even, between if there was various things, savoring all that feels good here. Or you might simply choose to, if there was multiple things, drink them all in as a collective and simplify that in a way that lets you savor it even more mindfully. As you continue to drink that in, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today with my friends. And thank you all for being here exactly as you are. Thanks to all that's gone into that sweet moment of connection. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineage. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished us all, that have nourished those that have come before, and are in a way setting the stage for those yet to arrive, creating fertile ground to welcome those little seedlings. And as we, grant our attention in these ways, I also want to offer thanks to the villages of support that we have behind us, whether that's our friendships, the groups that we belong to, our connections to spirits, or anything and everything in between. Thank you. And thank you for being mindful in these ways as you consciously drink that all in and offering your reverence. May this continue to ripple forward in good ways as you walk in this world. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace. 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 Okay, blessings on your session today. As we settle in, it's interestingly enough going right into the fourth house. And the fourth house, ruled by Cancer, has lots of emotions in it. And it's also about how we have organized and almost like Cancer is a crab in its animal form. And the crab has a shell. So much in the same way that we organize our protective nature, how is it we've organized our shell, and how is it we organize the me in here, meaning the you out there. And it's getting prepared to do that. And a big chunk of that happens in our first, experts will say, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And the numbers are a little bit vague, but my personal take on that is our physical form anyways gets prepped in the first 7 years. our emotional in the next 7 up to 14, and then the mental up to the next 7 after that up to 21. And all of those seedlings are the basically the seed that created those patterns of 0 to 21 begin in fetal life. So actually going into fetal life when the stage was set for how it is that you in here met the others out there, the seeming others out there. And that sense of separation, that sense of differentiation, that sense of actual like anxiety, fear, overwhelm that went with that happened when you were actually just coming down the birth canal. And then as you met the first humans in your world, for many of us, that was a medical doctor or a nurse. And for many of us, that was, as well, of course, our parents, our mom, and maybe our dad or other relatives that were in the room. And there was a sense of like, boy, this is kind of crowded. So there we're going into the scene of like, not knowing what's coming on the other side, and then being overwhelmed with what it is you received on the other side at the hands of other humans. And looking at the belief system that something out there needed to be, that you needed to protect yourself from something out there, because you were sensitive to their energy fields. And it manifested in this point of fear, but specifically in like a freeze response, like a, whoa, I better hold myself in. And I was particularly in the part of the brain that was active during this point in your life, which was your reptilian brain, your instinctual brain. And as the instinctual brain, the reptilian brain, received that sort of like freeze, it actually impacted various different components of it, all down the masculine side, all down the right side of the body. This is happening, in essence, in the erector spinae muscles, just to the right of the midline of the entire spine, where our personality, our character is formed. As we work with this, there's a sense of I should hold myself back from being vulnerable and open with other humans, because they could hurt me, they might not understand me, they might overwhelm me again. So we're going into that moment of overwhelm and the fear of that replicating and all the different ways that you have managed that. So whether that was a void and shut down, whether that was anxious and I'm going to please you and make you happy so you're not mad at me, or most of us have a balance of both of those. This is where we're essentially forming our attachment, if anyone's familiar with attachment theory. As we work with this seed of the foundational points in which you formed your attachment, and that almost like a mandala, this seems at the center, kept like rippling out in different fractal patterns, repeating itself through your lifetime. We're actually going to go to this like seed root of it all and run a seed tree on it. It's gonna continue, honestly, for quite a ways. We're actually doing this for 4 weeks. And it's happening at the level of how the soul is interacting with your physical, mental, and emotional bodies as an entirety. And it's looking at that interface. So as we run this Sidri, and it continues through the month of February and into early March, we're going to start with circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries your passion, nerve your communication, lymph that drains your toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness through awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal on all levels, in particular our nervous system and our immune system. And also working with the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. This is all also going to work with the circulation of water itself. And as we bring in hydration, I literally see that freeze response beginning to like melt and form water that begins to transform into its natural healthy role, which is that of joy. It's all just frozen components of joy that were just misunderstood and got a little bit caught in some fear that were trapping that was trapping it. So as we sort this out, it's also in particular circulating, as we mentioned, down that right side. I see it also going all the way down through the right arm to support your capacity to like reach out and grab what it is you're after in life, as well as to bring it back and to receive it and to drink that nourishment out. So I see this as also translating into being able to reach out and find abundance in your human connections, in your human relationships, in being met with nourishing experiences in a relational setting in your world, whether that's your romantic relationships, your friendships, your partnerships in work, your relationship to you, your kids, anyone in between. Okay. Maybe it's to an animal, as my Roxy is just reminding me. Yeah. Then we're gonna run a D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Take care of the clutter that no longer needs to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness, and it's particularly working on the consciousness of coldness itself. Like, if other people are going to be a little bit cold in their treatment to me, as the medical staff may have been, or the shock of mom and dad of receiving this baby, and the moment of like, whoa, this kid is here, and this is like a big change in their lives, and like, how am I gonna handle all of that? And their own internal freeze responses that were happening. So looking at all the freezes that you basically learn to take on through the belief system. Either people are cold or I should be cold in how I deal with people to match their energy to get my needs met. And that might come out again, I would argue, and this is a bit of a leap, that people pleasing is a form of coldness because you're actually being cold to yourself as you attempt to live out there, which also cuts yourself off from the vulnerability and risking yourself of being in connection with another human being. And there's also a coldness in the avoid response of just like, I have to separate myself away, I have to isolate. So think of all this as collectively as well, feeding the consciousness of isolation and coldness. Okay. And it can be, well, kind of chilly or feel like we're left out in the cold if we're noticing isolation happening. Another way I could say all this to maybe simplify it any further would be to note that we're actually releasing a pattern of consciousness of learned isolation. Of learned isolation versus connection. Okay, so as that runs for the next 4 weeks, you have a little bit of homework if you want it. And the homework is simply to imagine reaching out to another, making contact with whatever it is you wanted to receive from that other person, and being able to actually like draw that back into yourself and then receive that as nourishment. You might even imagine doing this as you're falling asleep and like rewiring your experiences of the day where that didn't happen. So being mindful about, the experiments, as I'm going to call it, and noticing like, okay, here's where that happened in a way that worked really well for me. Here's where it didn't. And where it didn't happen, you get to reimagine and reprogram and recorrect that. And you might have to do it several times. You might have to do it multiple times. So you can do it for a few minutes, you can do it for 15 minutes, you can do it for however long or little you like. But it goes with, again, extending the arm out fully. I'm going to try to change up my computer angle a little bit here to maybe get a better arm reach out there. So we're gonna reach all the way out, straighten the arm fully. You might even like put your back into it ever so slightly without collapsing it, but keeping your back toned, and then reaching, grabbing the imagined thing that you would have wanted. Like, I would have wanted a warm reception to that. I would have wanted validation to that. I would have wanted, Oh, I understand that. I get that. Whatever the response is that would have been desired, reaching out, grabbing that, drawing it in, and imagining what it's like to actually have that. Like if I had had the warmth, the validation, the responsivity that I was looking for, how does that feel in this body? How does that feel inside of me? And letting your system and all your little ones, in essence, begin to connect to that felt sense. And in this way, we begin to reparent the infants. We begin to reparent where that seed of the disconnect started, and that rippling out of the mandala of all the pain and all the suffering and all of our various relationships and connections. So as we work within this way, you also begin to let your body know that it's actually safe to reach out, that it's safe to receive nourishment, that it's safe to draw that back in, and it's safe to be satiated amongst nourishment. And it might sound kind of silly, that we need to do that all, and yet I don't know any human being who doesn't need a little bit, or maybe even a medium-sized amount, or maybe even more than that, to some degree. Even if we had the most secure relationship there with our caregivers, there's always something that got formed in that way. So think of this as a little bit of cleanup, or for some of us, that might be, self included, a lot of cleanup in this regard. Okay, I digress. So as we work with the consciousness of drawing in connection and feeling it satiated, it also begins to, as we mentioned earlier, we started with the Cancer fourth house crab shell. It actually begins to soften the crabbiness, so to speak, the hard crustacean-like shell that may have formed around the myelin sheath, which is the coating of the nervous system. So just releasing habitual tendencies to guard oneself would be a better way to say that. Or not better, but a different way to say that. We're gonna run one more surgery on that guarding, that bracing. Excuse me. And sorry, to have a little bit of mucus built up from the past while of moving and all the dust that got kicked up. Our furnace wasn't connected with the cold air return, so I've been choking on dust for a week. Forgive me. But as we work with that, in essence, it begins to set the stage. I'm going to say it a slightly different way, to begin to face forward, and to begin to face forward in your life and in your connections without having to manage so much as you release the habitual guarding or bracing from that myelin sheath, that coating of that nervous system that stores all of our habits. And that's governed by governing vessel 20, 21, 20. I'm debating right now. A little sleep deprived. That hangs out roughly in the center of the crown there. And as we work with this particular point, it's interesting to note that it's in the center, dead center of the crown chakra. So it actually works with the capacity to transcend. Not in a way that's spiritually bypassing, but in a way that integrates at a soul level, at a spirit level, to the point where that actually just no longer even reflects as an outer wound any further. It's completely integrated, and its beauty can be danced with in a way that you don't actually relate to it as a wound. And I'm getting those images of the Japanese potters who take a cracked mug and they use gold to fill in the cracks, and they repair the brokenness of the mug. And as they fill it in with the gold, the idea is that the mug actually appreciates in value, that it appreciates in its worth, because it did go through this process of becoming fragmented and becoming whole yet again. And I think of it as a beautiful metaphor for what's possible in this human existence, this human life. Okay. All of that to say, This is now linking into your immune system and your capacity to accept you and to basically work with releasing the pre-programmed rejections of yourself that you learned through the conditioning that you received from the world around you. As you work with that in the immune system, it's particularly tying into, again, this I should be cold or callous to deal with the world before me, or I should shut down to manage the world around me. And the immune system itself is reflecting that in its like chilliness. Or if you ever get prone to like when you're sick, you get like that chill, or you're just prone to be a little bit cooler in nature. It might actually be information that's stored from your birth or early childhood around some undealt with or undigested, I should say, freeze responses. So that can show up very physically for people. And that in turn is linking all the way into the nose. And the nose, I think of it as being literally in the center of the face and how it is we are. It sticks out forward from the face because it's actually meant to be the first line of receiving information that keeps you safe and helps you to survive in this world. So there's a connection between here and the base chakra, which sometimes gets this like bad rap. I feel like people love the crown chakra and the heart chakra, but they don't always love the base chakra in the same way. And I'm wondering if we can maybe just like romance up the base chakra just like a little bit. Let's, you know, get to know it. Let's take it on like a little bit of a first date and say like, hello, base chakra. And in fact, we can do that somatically as well. So that band of tissue, it's like a diamond shape between genitals and anus and sit bones. There's this diamond of tissue. I mean, invite you just to like ask your body to soften that. And then notice the impact of that in the system. And then doing that for a few waves. Because the more we systematically call on that to soften, it tends to have several layers to it. So you're welcome to stay with that for a few rounds or for the next half hour of this session or anything in between beyond this day, even. So feel free to make this your own. But for right now, let's try to do it at least like 3 times, maybe 5, 7. And then, as you notice the impact of softening this area, it's as if we actually begin to tangibly release some of that guarding, some of that bracing, some of that being like held up in the system. And it begins to allow you to land or to ground into the earthiness of your own body mind. And as we work with the consciousness again of the nose helps us to connect through the sense of smell to what brings us pleasure and what brings us things that are attractive. Excuse me. It also supports us in finding our healthy connections. Now, some of us had some unhealthy connections at the beginning of our lives, which felt like it set the stage for us to think that those were healthy, but they weren't actually. So it got a little confused, shall we say. You're actually going to run switching for your sense of smell to help to release some of that confusion around what it is you are. I have an itchy nose now, all of a sudden. No surprise. Apparently for me too. As we work with what it is you are actually attracted to, and helping literally to release any toxicities or any expectation of toxicity, to whatever extent this layer is ready to be received. And as we offer this to your system to be met to whatever depth it wants to take it to, it's again just like much in the same way that we soften the diamond tissue, it's like an offering of like, hey, this is here. What's ready to release? that we're connecting you specifically in potentially one of the most radical, rebellious links I ever do for people, which is connecting them up to their right brain, connecting them to their feelings, their feminine thought forms, the way of thinking that's a little bit out of the box at times, that can maybe even be intuitive, psychic, telepathic, channeling. It can work into that realm of non-material or non-ordinary states of consciousness. And here we're actually also looking for a longing for connection amongst your feelings, amongst your capacities, in whatever way your particular right brain is oriented. And we're just looking at that longing and wanting, there's like a sense of wanting more, and a sense of I haven't had enough, a sense of lack, a sense of, the word here is actually starvation. And it's connected into your first feeding experience. And whether you were bottle fed and didn't feel satiated, or whether you were breastfed for those first couple rounds, the first few days, mums produce colostrum, which doesn't have a ton of calories. It doesn't have that same satiation effect. For those of us who were bottle fed, yes, you received caloric satiation, but you didn't necessarily receive the connection of the hormones, of the smells, of the, this came from my mom, and that bonding experience that could happen in that way. So there's this sense of feeling, I'm going to say unmet, that curated this idea of I shouldn't necessarily meet my own feelings, and I shouldn't meet the gifts of my right brain. So it becomes confusing to receive information or to deliver information from an intuitive aspect. I'm going to say intuitive, and I'm going to, in my mind, I keep saying insightful, psychic, telepathic, channeling, all the various lists of ways that communication can happen that aren't logical or factual or ordinary or materialistic in some way. Okay, so it's working with the more ephemeral, the less tangible, the more mysterious, the unseen, the unseen. And here we're just simply running the permissions, and the words are not just for you, but for 8 generations of women that came before you. And the words are simply this: you are not crazy. You are not crazy. You are not crazy. Then I'm going to invite you to imagine with me that your feelings get to be received and welcomed by you. That your feelings get to be received and welcomed by you. And as you become aligned with feeling your feelings and welcoming them, it begins to set the stage for others to do the same to the fullest extent that they can amongst their own internal capacities and their own individual journey amongst the cell. And it also somehow sets the stage for it to be over time, that might be years. Slightly less important for your feelings to be as necessarily validated out there because you become aligned with them in here. There's an expression in the somatic world, and it comes from IFS. Dr. Richard Schwartz says this. He actually wrote a book with this title. You're the one you've been waiting for. What if you're the one you've been waiting for? And the more we look to have it come out there, the less satisfied we may be, because it may actually not happen out there. But if it could happen in here, it sets the stage for that to happen with a greater likelihood out there, and for it to not be so painful if it doesn't actually happen out there. So it becomes fortification in multiple ways. Okay, and this is all linking into releasing the consciousness or the habitual, I'm going to say, self-abandonment. Self-abandonment of your feelings, self-abandonment of your knowingness that happens in non-ordinary ways. The times where you have learned and have reinforced the dismissal of what it is you knew and what it is you do know, which is such a important, valid way of getting information that supersedes other forms at times, because it's actually necessary to communicate in a wide array of ways. And our world has just lost touch with the, well, I'm going to say the more right brain ways of doing it. So this is why I refer to it as probably the most rebellious, radical link I offer people to connect to your feelings, to your right brain, to your feminine essence. And on that note, we're linking that into the yin, into the feminine essence of you. Now, in Chinese medicine, in multiple viewpoints, the yin is thought to store our history. It is at our core. And the yang is like, and now we're going to take new action and we get to do something different in a different way or an aligned way if it works with the wisdom that's come through us. Okay, then as we work within this yin, this feminine essence, this history, think of it as like teasing apart the pain of the history from the wisdom that's contained. Separating out the pain of the history from the wisdom. So for some of us, our right brain gifts may have opened up early because trauma of some sort. Or we might be completely, I'm thinking less so of people on this call and more in our modern world. We might be walled off. Excuse me. We might be walled off from accessing the world through this right brain perspective. Excess deficiency. And regardless of how that happened, there was this sense of there's something dangerous about this right brain way of being in the world. I should wall that off, or I should have to try to like figure out how to manage this and like take 18 years of courses. That might have been my approach. Or. And oh, I'm not going to do justice on this at all, but Jung would refer to this to some degree, and keep in mind I'm not doing justice and I'm paraphrasing heavily, being able to reclaim our, through our neuroses, our wisest self. So as we look at what's become kind of neurotic that we kind of shove away because we've learned to do that, we actually, as we reclaim that, begin to step into the wisest essence of ourselves. And that happens primarily through the doorway, through the portal of fear. So I invite you to imagine that you can actually, much like a birth canal, you might even reimagine that you're actually being born, make your way through the portal of fear itself, and you just simply allow yourself to fully feel that. And it's usually not pretty, in all honesty. As we stay with this, it's almost like we're undoing the shock of the formation of your foundation of you, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and how it's going to replicatively play out in one's lifetime. Replicatively is a word for today. Okay. And here we're also unhooking a belief system. It's actually like a secondary matrix, a little subpersonality of you that says, no matter what, I have to keep going. I have to keep going. I have to keep going. In other words, it's the voice of saying, I shouldn't ever slow down or stop to feel everything that's really here. And we're releasing the I have to keep going from your right brain. Okay, beautiful. We're going to top this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Okay, just give that another round, really 3 rounds, let's say, a breath. Then I'm going to invite you to imagine that you can breathe now right into your lymphatic system. I'm going to invite you to focus your attention, your awareness, your breath into this lymphatic system, and as best to your knowledge as you know of it, wherever there's a blood vessel or a nerve running, there is lymphatic vessels go with it. So the arteries, the veins, the nerves, and the lymph all travel like together, kind of like through. If you've ever like undone an electrical wiring, you see like the little teeny tiny wires that are contained in like the bigger coating of the wire. It's kind of like that. So your wiring, a fun way is to think, one way of thinking about this, doesn't mean you're a machine. Even in this age of Aquarius, which we can do some wild things with technology, and we do have the greatest technology there is, I believe, in our nervous system compared to the biggest, baddest computer or AI system out there these days. And the lymphatic vessels, as we work with them, are in essence carrying the sense of low self-esteem that's supporting this drive to constantly keep going, constantly achieve, constantly succeed. And it's chasing it like it's an addict, almost. Chasing it, and I don't use that word lightly, chasing it for that like next hit of validation, that next hit of, okay, I'm worthwhile. Okay, I can rest. Someone noticed that I did a good job on something. I was pleasing. I was whatever. We can turn ourselves into being. And as we basically pretzel ourselves in various different ways to get this hit, there's wear and tear on our nervous system. And that low self-esteem that's driving it through the lymphatic system is creating exhaustion and burnout in the nervous system. And it's this like downward spiral that will eventually catch up over time and manifest as it does for everybody in some way, shape, or form, ultimately, some form of inflammation or illness or being not at ease because we're literally avoiding our truth of ourselves. If we were at ease amongst it all, we would be fully content and pausing to rest or to sit into the void of the truth of who and what we really are, the nothingness and the everythingness that is our true essence. So on that note, okay, the words here as a permission to address that are, I hold myself. I hold myself. Almost like the essence of holding an infant and holding a baby with the sweetness, the tenderness, the care, the love, the offering of connection. the offering of supportive, tender, loving, present connection, and offering that to yourself. And although you may have longed to have that from someone else out there, and you may continue to look for it out there because it wasn't satiated as the world didn't necessarily provide that in your interactions with your caregivers, it becomes this journey of maturation to be able to provide it from ourselves internally within us. So I invite you to, again, potentially feeling on this rebellious radical act, turning to yourself and just simply being in connection with holding yourself. And this actually creates a ripple effect into all the self things, self-respect, self-care, self-esteem, self-love. And it sets the stage over time, again, years, decades, potentially an entire lifetime if one ever gets there, to fully dissolve one's essence into love itself. Perhaps that's all this lifetime has ever been about, surrender into love. Maybe it's always just been that, a love story. It just sure didn't look like it. To connect these various elements that have come up in this session, there's a phrase coming up, and the words are, I reach up, feel love. So I'm going to slightly modify our homework from earlier. Maybe I shouldn't have spoken to it so soon. But as you reach out, feel free to even reach up, reaching up. In a way that lets you grab on to something that you love and draw it back into your heart to receive it. This part is critical, to drink it in, to notice what it seems to be like. Even if it doesn't like land, and it may take many repetitions, it might take days, weeks, months, years, however long it takes, and it might happen right away. I don't know what your timeline is, but I do know this becomes a reprogramming of how it is you're meant to be wired in your most authentic nature of you. And this is your birthright, not because you need to have done anything to deserve this. It doesn't come with a side of righteousness. It just is factually true. That's just actually what you're born with and what you're born to do and what you're born to be able to connect to. So reaching up, feeling love as you draw that back in and receive it. Feeling it all the way through that whole process. So reaching out, feeling the love from the point of connection to it, feeling the love as you draw it back into you, and feeling love into your heart space. And from there, much like the heart conducts blood to the rest of your body, it creates a pause point for you to actually notice things as well and circulates our awareness. It begins to circulate awareness all the way through the blood. There isn't really very many parts of you that aren't receiving blood, an active blood supply, or aren't connected to a part of you that is receiving active blood supply. So even things like your hair, although it doesn't have blood vessels, your nails doesn't have blood vessels, but they're connected to your scalp, to your fingertips that do. So letting that rumble through and connect and receive through the essence of love. And I see that happening in a sacred geometrical fashion through the double torus, which is basically the geometry of how this pump is set up. Your heart is, actually, it's kind of a misnomer. It's not really like a pump. It's more like a pause point. And it's a place where things get to pause and rest. So the heart actually is meant to stop things from moving as a muscle. And it's sacred geometrical configuration allows for the flow of things to happen in a way that physicists are catching up on and understanding, and putting scientific equations to. Thank God we can prove it. But I think we can look at it and just understand that that's happening from different angles as well. In a potentially right-brained, non-materialistic, non-factual way of understanding it, you get to just understand the basic essence of some of these mechanisms. Okay, so I digress. Reach up, feel love, draw that in, and continue to feel it all the way through that process. I'm going to invite you to give now a few breaths right into the very midline of your body, your mind. I now see lymphatic circulation happening through the very midline. I see it as releasing any inflammation that might show up in the form of like swelling or bloating that's related to the issues of trust and surrender. Cleaning out any low self-esteem, overanalyzing around those themes of both trust and surrender. And sinking into the right half of that diamond that we talked about between genitals, anus, sit bones. On the right side, the masculine sort of half of that, there's a natural tendency for the masculine to be protective, to sort of guard. And there's a sense of like uncertainty or unease of like, but if I let that down, then there may be something that could sneak in. And the idea here is, again, we're reinforcing the you don't always have to keep going. You actually get to take a rest, and then you can be more prepared to notice when there is a danger available or a threat available, when you need to come in to protect and to do the thing. But it doesn't mean you have to be hyper-vigilantly on. So said in a more simple fashion, we're releasing the idea that hyper-vigilance is necessary to be protected, that hyper-vigilance is doing something that's protective is true to a degree, but it's actually not protective if it's happening all the time. Because then you actually aren't prepared for being able to catch things and you might actually miss the threat. You might actually miss the threat if you're always looking. You actually lose efficacy. We can't be on duty all the time. We need to rest in order to be more prepared to do our role more effectively. And then, if it could respond, it might say something like, "But there's a lot of threats out there." It's like, yeah, there might be a lot of threats out there. That's actually all the more reason to stay sort of centered or loose in the middle of everything. I don't know about you all, but you might have had a time in your life where you can relate to this, where you've had a lot on your plate, and some periods in your life that might have gotten really fucking stressful, where you're like, I can't handle all of this, because there's like this almost like an energetic clamping down on it, and this sense of like having to deal with all of this feeling so deeply personal that there's like no resources to even handle it all. And there might be other times in your life where there's the same thing, same situation, yet there's a greater ease at going through it, because there's a way of finding. And this might have been happening unconsciously, so we're just painting a conscious picture of it. A way of being like calm and loose to be able to handle whatever was coming your way. You were, in essence, centered amongst that all. You were within your own essence of you, so it happened with greater ease. You may have to look back in your history to find some of these things. So, in essence, we're finding the capacity to stay loose and calm and at ease, even amongst the seeming threats that are coming our way, so that we can actually be better prepared to use what we need to protect ourselves when there is an actual danger before us. All of that is linking into the 12th house, House of the liver, house of endings, house of releasing, surrendering, making space, house of allowing. And I wonder what it might be like to just simply allow any given one component of one of the things that you've got going on and the stress behind it. If you just connect to that piece of stress, not all the stress that you have got going on, but just one piece at a time, and you just simply allow yourself to be with it. Not because you needed to change it or fix it or manage it or have it go away, but because you simply welcomed it to be there. You actually turn towards yourself, much like you are turning towards an infant in need. That infant might be a bit colicky or cranky on occasion, and nonetheless, their need is no less valid than when they're at peace, when they're at rest. The need for connection remains the same. And in this way, we begin to repattern your attachment. We begin to offer a different form of connection and availability to be here, even when things are hard. In ideal parenting, we would allow the child to feel everything that they're feeling, and we wouldn't necessarily interfere with any of that. And we would simply be beside them as they were feeling all their feelings. And we would help them make sense of it. We would help them turn towards it and understand what was happening. We wouldn't necessarily, you know, yell or scream or do anything that was aggressive, physically, mentally, emotionally. And although that might have happened in your younger days, you actually get to change that pattern, you get to change that rhythm, you get to radically rebel and reclaim the remembrance of how it is you're authentically meant to be inside of you. So I've given you a fair amount of homework pieces, and this is going with that. It's turning towards the stress, just so it's like one micro edge of it. And if it feels too much, if you're feeling like, oh God, that was way too big, then you're going to back off. You're going to take just like a smaller edge of it at any point in time. And just simply allowing it to be there. And again, this isn't easy work. This is stuff that takes some time to be amongst. And this is how we begin to bridge the fear that's in play between your soul, your spirit, and your human essences. We're linking that through into the lungs now, working with the consciousness of new beginnings. It's going specifically into the left lung, and into the area of the lungs closest towards the midline, so the internal middle half. And we're here, we're doing an emotional release of sadness from not having had that childhood that created that security that you might have had a different life with. And then we're releasing the top portion of that, again, left lung, middle section, but at the very top of it, grief. And the deep longing, the deep ache, the deep wanting to be in full connection with spirit and feeling like that may not be playing out in the human form in the ways that you know, remember, and had at one point in your very early life. and that ache, that desire to return to source can create almost like this confused attraction at times towards wanting things just to end. And there might even be a part of you that feels that way sometimes. I'm going to talk about things that are taboo to talk about because I think it's time. And one of those taboo subjects is that of, you know, those times where you're like, this could end. I can't take matters into my own hands. And that part of you that feels that way, that knows where that kill switch is, that death instinct, is simply longing for something that's painful, that's hurting, that's challenging to end in circumstances that feel untenable to manage, that feels too overwhelming to be amongst. So there's a cleverness in being able to allow your system to feel the feeling of that as well, and to know that it's just simply needing something that was really too overwhelmingly painful to continue to occur any longer. And through the work of slowly reparenting ourselves, we begin to set a different stage. And we actually welcome what it is to have healthy connections, what it is to welcome the life instinct. And not in a way that shames death. It's a necessary subject to dance amongst in other ways as well, to understand that we are all going to pass away at some point in time, sets the stage, many say, for a meaningful life to be embraced and turned towards. We're linking that all back into the 12th house. Which is kind of perfect, that death instinct that may have been confused gets to link into an area that is known to support surrender, release, letting go. It actually gets to have the death that it's been looking for. This part of you gets to actually release, let go, and no longer carry its burden, carry its pain. The good news here might just simply be you're actually welcome to die if you want. And I don't mean that in a tangible, physical way. I mean that in a metaphorical, emotional consciousness way for this part of you that's longing to do just that. You can actually offer it just that. We could offer it a surrender into the earth. And as that part of you embraces the earth and it gets to literally rest in peace, and its burdens, all that it's been carrying, its pain, its hurt, its struggle, its challenge, gets released into the earth itself. We can even imagine that that also simultaneously is happening for your ancestors that felt the same way. Mom, dad, both sides at the same time. As we do this for not just you, but for actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 generations back on both sides, allowing this surrender of all the pain, all the hurt, all the challenges that was so deeply painful and said had a voice of like, this has to end now, to the point where I might even be willing to take my own life over it. We begin to reach a core level of struggle that is also shaped fortitude, that has also shaped the capacity to keep going even when you didn't want to, that has shaped stoicism, discipline, that has carried tremendous gifts and wisdom that is often not reclaimed because we don't talk about this part of ourselves, so we don't necessarily reclaim the wisdom and the gift that's also here. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but I do know that you get to find that out, and that is too a part of your birthright to live fully into the full essence and all the aspects of you. And I can think of nothing better to stand for in this life than that. So I invite you to look I invite you to be curious about that part of you that we allowed to rest into the earth, to notice that they actually are getting ready to be reborn. And notice their gifts. Notice what it is they're claiming as they rise. And this little seedling, as it sprouts, may not make itself known in this moment. It may not be fully aware of everything in this precise second. It may unfold over the coming days, weeks, months. I've seen things like this make their whispers known in bits and pieces and carry on for lengthy periods of time. It's going into the potential for this to cultivate over days, weeks, months, even years. Setting the stage for this cycle of death, rebirth, and this reclamation of this essence of you. This reclamation of the gift that was confused and hidden amongst the pain and the hurt, the challenge. You get to reclaim for you. And that's linking into now the left brain. And I'm way over time. So sorry, y'all. And as we offer this capacity to just simply allow into the left brain and the capacity to simply feel in the right brain, we're linking these two together. And we're tapping this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. My apologies for going over time, and I'm not stopping this link now in any way, shape, or form because of time. This was just this natural conclusion. I knew I was going over time for the last few minutes, and I didn't have the capacity to pause and express that amongst everything else that I was holding. So my apologies, and thank you for your grace and your understanding. I can understand that it can be a little distressing when things can run over time. So if any parts of you are up around that, my apologies and my love and my care to those of you who might be feeling that way. And deepening the breath. And if you have space for it, I'm going to go just a few more minutes. I'm going to offer you a song to supportively allow for this integration to happen. And I have the perfect song. It's actually specifically called I Reach Up and Feel Love by a beautiful chorus. So I invite you to rest and receive and allow and feel as you continue to integrate and allowing and have allowing and feeling come into a new form of a union, whatever that looks like for you today.
Bring it to my heart, reach up, I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, I bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, I bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, I bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, and bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, I bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, I bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart, reach up. I feel love, bring it to my heart.
I'll pop that into the link to that song into the chat feature here as well. And it's by Beautiful Chorus. It's from their album Mantras in Love, and they're all really good. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today with you all, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for all that's come through in today's session, and we ask that it live on in good ways for each and every person here. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. May that ripple through this world in all the ways that can support you and it. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Beautiful session. Thank you all for being here, and you're most welcome to everybody. Always love getting to hang with you all. And if anybody needs any additional support one-on-one, feel free to let me know. I'm going to bring the recording in for a close here and wish you all a beautiful rest of your day and week, and say goodbye. Bye for now, y'all.